Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships are people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Signature and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about.
Good evening. Tonight, Tuesday night, the Every Woman Talk Show, and I'm so excited. I am your co-host, Uli, and I have my sisters here with me. I know I have Jackie on the line.
Hi, hey, everybody. Jack. How are you?
I have Nate on the line. Hey, Nate.
Hi. Hey.
Hey, Nate.
Do we have Nate here? Is Sig on the line yet? I guess we don't have Sig. What happened to Sig tonight?
We'll give her a few. Maybe she's got.
Well,
I know
a few minutes to get in. You know, sometimes
I
can go. Yeah, it's you know, Tuesday nights at 7 is kind of hard, especially when you got family, you're coming from work. So we'll give Sig a few minutes to call in. How were your ladies over the weekend? How did you guys do? What'd you do? Jackie, what'd you do this weekend?
I cried uh-huh. Because my baby is moving.
You know, I know.
And, you know, as mothers, it's hard to sometimes cut those apron strings loose and let them go off and be everything that you've raised them to be, because that's what you do. You pour your heart and soul into your children so that they can go out and be great functional parts of society and they can stand on their own. But when that moment comes, and I'm just like, well, why you gotta go? So, but it was wonderful because we all got together and we had a great going away dinner for my son who is moving to Houston. So all the folks, anybody down there in Houston, in that area, y'all hit me up and let me know and I'll let y'all know where he is and y'all take care of my baby.
That is so funny. That's the mom thing. That is the mom.
Yeah, I'm about to tell you 22 years old.
We missed. Yeah, she misinformed us on that one. We're thinking a kid. Nah, he's a girl, man.
No, he's a
grown
man.
But the Nate, thing. What is, about you, Nate? What did you do this weekend?
You know what? That nice day of weather that we had. What was it? Saturday.
Yes.
I about lost my mind. I was outside with open-toed shoes on. No,
no, you wasn't.
Yes, I was. You know, it was like it was a little piece of summer, of spring, and I was just crazy. Now I'm sneezing now. I've been sneezing.
It's all right.
It's working. You know, but it was just nice. I mean, all that snow was melted, and I could get a parking space in front of my house.
Yes.
I almost put the top down on the car, but you mind one two.
But I saw somebody with their top down today. I promise you I did. On the parkway, somebody was driving with their top down. And I said, you know what? That is so sad. We have all been wanting a piece of spring for so long.
You want to get rid of summer and get rid of winter and get to summer quick.
Oh, seriously. And I ate a bunch of goat.
Let's see. But I worked really hard this weekend.
I don't know when Natay was about to say she ate something. I want to know what she ate.
You know what? You know them Girl Scout cookies and stuff that's been circulating? Well, I went through two boxes. Yeah.
I think that easy. The mint
ones. Well, I try not to. Because I try to eat
healthy.
You got
to put them in the freezer. You got to put them in the freezer?
I did. But, you know, I go to the freezer and get them out. That's the problem. See, freezer don't, it don't even matter, but, you know.
Yeah, you got to put a lock on the freezer, right?
I
didn't do much this weekend. I worked all weekend. I had some double shifts of work this weekend, so I worked all weekend. And I just found out that my baby's leaving the nest, too. So, a little upset about that. Happy with kids at the same time, but, you know, she has to move on. She has to live her life. So,
yeah.
I'll probably be over there every night, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I might give her a break one or two nights.
Give
a little break. Did she call in yet? No sick yet? All right. Well, ladies, listen.
So.
For me, the hot topic for me, and I know you guys probably have something you want to talk about, too, but Jackie posted something on Facebook today about a gentleman from Bloomfield, black gentleman from Bloomfield, who was stopped by the cops, and they had the videotape going, and you could hear all the false things they were saying through the videotape, just in case someone was watching it or listening to it later on, and they beat this man, they arrested this man, they charged him with eluding and all these other things, but the tape was never shown. Somewhere down the line, I guess the lawyer got the tape to be shown, and they showed how they beat this man, did these things to this man, and this man now has been able to walk away with no charges. But the fact that he was facing these charges, the fact that he got locked up, the fact that they did all these things, this is right here where we're from. Like, this is craziness to me. Like, what do you think about
over from you.
One town over from me and where I work at. Yes. So I'm there every day, okay? Every day I'm in that city. So what do you guys think about that?
That's crazy.
And
you know,
when
it's crazy.
Okay, I'm sorry, honey.
No, you know, it's crazy because it's almost like it's never stopped. It's never changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They may have slowed down a little bit, but they just don't have the sheets on anymore in a
Absolutely.
Sense. You know, and it's in this day and time, it's 2014, where you can still be beat like that. Even if you are guilty of something, there is no there's no reason to ever be beat down physically like that. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But, you know, what do we do? How do you, can you stop it? I mean, can it even change? You know, and some people have gone as far as to say, you know, our black men, you know, maybe you shouldn't be riding around with other black men in the car or the music blasting. And I know that's related to another case, but how free can you be? You know, free can you be?
Wow, that's a pointy question.
What's your feelings on it?
That's a pointy question. When I posted it, I read it at like 6:30 in the morning, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. And then I said, well, I'm not going to look at the video. And I was so glad that I did because what was crazy about it was the dash cam on the cop car that was behind him, which was the original car that stopped him, you couldn't see any of that. But another cop car came
off. But all you saw was the light shining.
Right.
You couldn't see them. Right.
When the other car came, the other cop car came across the median and hit his car.
That
was the dash cam that was running that you could see everything where the cop was, the officer kept saying, stop going for my gun, but the man's hands were up.
Wow.
As soon as they pulled him over, he put his hands in the air, and he said he was terrified to get out of the car because he felt that they were going to shoot him. When they were punching him and dragging him, his hands were in the air.
And I'm
just like, you know, because you wear a badge, it automatically makes you right. It automatically gives you authority.
Right.
It automatically gives
you
that sense that I can do what I want to do.
But then the same week,
there was an incident in New York where a cop came down a one-way street, hit somebody's car, happens to be a black man, and proceeded to arrest him.
Right.
And then made slurs and made comments of, oh, I'm not going to lose my $750,000 house behind you.
And they were hiding evidence.
And I'm going to tell you, in Bloomfield, the case in Bloomfield, the lawyer who took the case for the defendant, he didn't even think that they could win because the evidence of the dash cam wasn't there. So it was just his word against five cops.
Right.
And so he didn't, somehow this tape miraculously surfaced, but these cops buried this evidence. So now they're all being indicted with assault.
One of them retired. The other two are being indicted, but the one that retired, so you're retiring with every full benefits, everything. You're good.
And they need to cut that. He should not have any benefits.
Yes.
Of course that won't happen, but they need to cut it. And let's just be mindful that this incident that happened in Bloomfield, this is just the one that we're hearing about and talking about today.
But I bet
you something happened yesterday. Something's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Something happened last week. It's happening every day. And nothing can be done about it.
Question, do you think that, we talk about this a lot where I work, these things are not new. These things have been happening.
No.
You know, racism is here, and I don't think it's ever going to go anywhere, at least not in my lifetime. But have you noticed that there's a resurgence of open racism since we've gotten a black man in office?
Absolutely, that's a good point. It's an amazing correlation
because since there's so much hatred and racism to the man that runs this country, there's just been a resurgence of hate crimes, race crimes, and things of that nature, and people are just so open about it. You know, racism used to always just kind of be an undertone. It was always there, and things happened, but now it's just so open.
It was open at one time, but when they start trying to act like they were giving us equality, that's when it became a little under the rug. But what I'm seeing more now is the things that they are saying about this man who is running our country, some of these things are terroristic threats. If we had said those to someone else, we would be locked up for terroristic threats. But it's okay for someone to say, this man should be executed, this man should be this, and you can say that? You can openly say these things? You can openly just say somebody needs to kill him?
Right. And what they're doing, they're hiding behind the First Amendment, that freedom of
speech.
When does that go too far?
Right.
In Bloomfield, like it did in Bloomfield, that goes too far.
It's going too far. Absolutely.
And with Obama, you know, it just is no respect. But then, y'all, I also have to say, it's not just different ethnicities, you know, making comments and threats and stuff about Obama. We do it to ourselves. You know,
how many times do we tear
each other down and kill each other down for senseless reasons?
And that's
a great segue into us wrapping up for Black History Month about that whole issue of respect and what we're wanting others to give us, but we don't give to ourselves a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. No.
How can, you know, people always say, how can you expect people to take you seriously if you don't take yourself seriously? How can we expect or want or demand that other races take us seriously, you know, treat us the way we want to be treated if we don't do it amongst ourselves?
Right. That's true.
It's self-respect.
Absolutely.
You know, self-respect. I always say that with I Ain't That Chick. It's self-respect and self-awareness. You can't respect other people unless you first respect yourself. You love yourself. You got to love yourself first. You know, so hopefully as a people, we start with us and we do better. We treat each other better.
Well, you know, we've been trying this for years. Let's see, you know, how many more years it's going to take us to get it right.
Probably
forever. It's unbelievable.
Well, Willie Lynch said that if you follow his model, that you could have generations enslaved for 300 years.
Absolutely.
That model is still oh so prevalent of how you separate the household, take the man out of the household, You know, you separate, you divide and conquer. So you separate the race within itself. You have them to hate each other, and you cause chaos amongst the race, and therefore they will stay this way. They will stay in order the way we want them to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so true. Well, but then also, you know, Jackie, one more thing. We know that that's the plan, the sneak attack. We need to do better.
How do you break the cycle? And that's the thing. What generation says we're going to break the cycle and we're not going to fall into this? And collectively, we have to strive for better. You know, oh, I don't like you because you light skin. I don't like you because you dark skin. Oh, you got a better job and you moved out the hood, so you think you better than me. You a sellout. Oh, well, you won't do anything to strive and do better, so I'm not going to help you. Like, where does all the tear down stop? And
you have to remember this, though. Wait a minute, ladies. We have to remember this. That didn't just start. That started from slavery. That started
And that's when that letter was written. When he wrote that letter,
nigga, because you were made by the white man. So that didn't just start because of what's going on. That has always, unfortunately, been an issue in our lives.
Negro, all the time.
That's what I'm saying. House
nigga,
still nigga.
White
nigga, dark nigga. You know, when are we going to come out of that? When are we going to realize that it's not a house nigga or a field nigga? We are all Negro people, period.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you, I heard it was some Michael Jackson, one of the most influential people in music for the ages, and there was a comment made by, I believe it was Frank Sinatra, that said, not saying that he was extremely talented, that's a dancing and singing nigga.
Mm.
He's a great singer. Not that, he is an amazing dancer, but at the end of the day, that's the term that's still used, and they lump us together. So if we're going to be lumped together, we need to be unified together. So
absolutely.
If you think because you drive a better car than me, you live in a better neighborhood than me, that makes you better than me, guess what? In their eyes, you are still me. But now you'll get, he's an educated nigga. Or he's a cooperative nigga. But at the end of the day, what's the word that's at the end of it? Nigger.
He's still a nigger.
Yeah. We got to start with us, and we can't control how everybody perceives us, but at least here at the Every Woman Talk Show, we can start with us. And as far as, you know, women getting along and women respecting one another and treating each other fairly and having sisterly bonds and friendship and love. So that's what we're doing here. Right, ladies?
And it's so funny because we all are very different in our looks. We are very different in the way we have been brought up, where we have been brought up at. We're all very different, but it never becomes an issue for us. Like, it doesn't even have a part of our conversation.
Right,
you know? And I think that's what makes it okay for us.
Because I'm 6 feet tall.
Yes, you are.
And I'm a perfect size six.
I want to be tall so badly.
And you know what's funny, Kay? I always wanted to be short. I always wanted to be really short, and I always wanted to be really dark. I wanted to be short and dark. I don't know.
You are short. Mm-hmm. You're just not dark.
Well, I'm not that short, Jackie. I'm average. Natay is short.
I'm average.
No. You're short.
I'm average. I'm average. I just want to be tall forever.
Yeah,
and
you know what? I mean, and we can all want things, but the wonderful thing is with all of us,
we're all different,
I believe, is that we embrace who we are, what we have, how we look. You know, if there's certain things about you, you can change, but you know what? I'm not going to be any taller, and I'm never going to be a perfect size six. I haven't been a size six since I was six, and I'm okay with that. You know, I don't want to necessarily be the size I am now, so there are things that I have to do to work on it, but I'm okay with being my height.
But
I'm
that
okay
would be for
with
health
being
reasons.
My complexion.
That's not for anybody else. That's for
health. I want to look good, too. I'm cute. I'm a cute big girl.
That's right.
You know, but anything that I want to change, you know, and like you said, for health reasons, and, you know, along with health reasons, I can, you know, shop in a different store. But, you know, I'm okay with my complexion. I'm okay with my hair length. I'm okay with the skin that I'm in. And I think, you know, for a long time, for our people, especially our women, that has mm-hmm. always been an issue because we have always tried to emulate what we saw because that is what was accepted. That was what was people approved of that. So for so long, we wanted to be like, even going back to slavery, you know, it goes, all we had to model ourselves, you know, that was acceptable and beautiful was the white women on the plantation or the white women in town.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we wanted to achieve this long, beautiful, straight hair and these lighter eyes. And, you know, they set the standard. And as we went along, what was printed, you
society,
know, television. Right. Everybody
right.
needs to be a twig. And, oh, you know, we are born culturally. We got some heritage that, you know, is behind us. Or we got some hips. Or we got some thickness in our lips. And it makes us beautiful for a long time. We denounced that.
Absolutely.
But now look at the time that we are in 2014.
What are you talking about, Jackie?
Women,
Jackie, we are not only competing against our sisters now. These white girls are coming with bodies.
And that's
now.
Where I'm going.
Yes.
You are taking,
yes.
When you're taking fat from your butt to put in
yes.
your lips so now you can have thicker lips or thicker hips and thicker butt, like these are the things that these same women denounce.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Now you want to look like me. You want to tan like me. You want to
mm-hmm.
you want to be me, but so many of us are still trying to look like them.
Yeah. Ladies, I want to just put some shout-outs real quick. I want to thank everybody who was able to come out to the American Cancer Society Fashion Show on Saturday at Science High. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You know, as you guys know, unfortunately, the Every Woman Talk Show could not be there, but we will be on the track. Well, they will be on the track.
I knew that was
June 14th at Shabazz High.
Yes.
I sit in the bleachers and eat my hamburger and french fries.
No.
June 14th.
You are going to watch.
No. Well, actually, Uli, I went to the fashion show this weekend, so the Every Woman Talk Show
was
there.
Wonderful.
Yes. We were there. I repped for all of us.
We
were
there.
We
That's
were
all
there.
We need one
definitely.
Of us. That's all
did
we need is one of us.
Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy it?
Yes, and we made a donation as well. So we were there. We showed
Woo-hoo.
Up. So, yes, you know, if one of us don't have if we all can't have it, then one of us will get there and definitely
Absolutely.
Support. But
That's
June 14th, we're all there on the track.
All there.
Eating on the track.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. People, call in. We want to hear your voices. 646-478-4507. We want to hear your voices. Call in. We want to hear your views. We want to know what you want to hear. We want to know what you want us to talk about. Call in. I also want to let you know about the other show that Saddle World has on the air. We have on Fridays, we have the Man Up Show from 7 to 9. On Sundays, we have the Relations Show. That is
ooh,
a hot,
whoa.
Hot show, 8
yes.
to 9. We have the Game Strong with Trey on Monday night from 8 to 9. And the Ladies Night always, Tuesday night, the Every Woman Talk Show from 7 to 8. So you guys, don't forget us. If you can't catch us, catch one of the shows. You could even get on the blog and listen to us later on. But, yeah, we're doing it strong and we're doing it for you guys. So stick with us and we're going to have some fun. We also have a surprise guest tonight, Mr. Brashear. Dwayne Brashear should be calling in soon, hopefully soon. I'm not going to tell you much about him. We're going to leave that up to him, but he is a great surprise guest for us. And what else you ladies want to talk about?
Well, we might as well go ahead and finish our segue about Black History.
That's right.
You know, I love you guys, and I love the fact that we dedicated this month to Black History. I love the fact that, you know, even on Facebook, on our page, on everything, all this month we really dedicated some time and attention to some things that people maybe, you know, didn't necessarily know about, just kind of shining the spotlight on our ancestry and things that are current today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is so important because if maybe in this forum we can start to give a little more education, shine a little more light, you know, maybe people will go back to taking pride in who they are and what stock they come from. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's important that we continue to do that. And I'm so glad that we collectively have decided that this is not just going to be for the month of February, that we're going to continue to drop some knowledge every single show that we have
Absolutely.
You know, it may not be a big hidden fact. It may be facts that we already know, but sometimes just sparking conversation about something that we already know will make people dig a little deeper, will make people decide to do, you know, that family tree, sit down with that grandmother or that aunt that still, you know, kind of got their wits about them, that can, you know, talk and tell them about who they are and where they come from. Because a lot of times we are known as a lost people because so many other races and cultures, it is very easy for them to track way back, generations and generations and generations back. Whereas for us, a lot of times we look at our ancestry as what has happened in this country. So we can go back to a grandmother, great-grandmother. But, you know, we came from across the water. So, you know, we should be able to do the same thing. You know, yeah, we're not going to find our ancestors at Ellis Island, you know, but
yeah,
we can track back. And even if it is that you can only track back to, you know, being here on a plantation, that's still hard for us because we were bought and sold like mules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you may have a grandmother that was on this plantation in Georgia, and her husband may have been shipped off to another plantation in Georgia or South Carolina or someplace else, and it just starts to split. Like, we are so fragmented and so separated, it is hard for us to really be able to trace back. But, you know, like I said, sit down and talk to somebody in your family who can give you some history. I am personally so excited because I'm getting to know my mother's side of the family a little more in depth. And they are planning a huge, huge reunion this summer. And we have our aunt who is a matriarch. She just turned 87 2 weeks ago, but she's sharp as a whip. And she has amazing, amazing memories. And I'm praying that, you know, between now and July, God keep her healthy, that we can sit down and get some wisdom from her and get some history from her and kind of plot where we are and who we are. And let there be some family pride in that, because I think that we don't necessarily have that pride that we used to, which is what drove us.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we don't know. We can't trace it. I had the privilege of going to South Africa a couple years back with, you know, my
wow.
mom and some friends. And it was, you know, it was such a different experience because I had to stop and say, like, really remind myself, Nate, you came from Africa. I always, you know, readily relate to America, but my roots and history obviously are in, you know, Africa. A few other little places sprinkled in here and there, but the tour guide said to me, he said, why don't more of you come home? And my first thought was, well, I live at home. I'm in, you know, California. I'm in America. And then it hit me like, wow, why don't more of us come home? And then he said, you know, I see the comedians and stuff on TV, and they generally make fun of Africans and stuff because a lot of times we have the little stands and we're selling stuff. And he said, American people will say, like, we're bums. Or you know, we're poor, but we look at it as we're entrepreneurs. But for me, you know, I went around and I'm looking at all the different women, and I'm asking everybody, what tribe do I look like? Who do I look like? So in essence, I'm asking people to tell me who I am, because I did not know. And so people are saying, you look like you're from that tribe. Oh no, you look like you're this. Oh no, you look like you're that. Still crazy, confused, but just not knowing. You know, just not knowing.
Let me ask you about this question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you about the question, because you're saying people, you know, think you're from here, think you're from there. Same thing, but I think I get offended when someone of non-color says to me, what are you? I'm black, I'm Uli. I'm like, what do you mean, what am I? You know, what are you? I can't be black? I can't be black, really? So it offends me when someone of non-color says something like that to me versus someone of color just wants to know, well, what the heck are you? Where are you from? What's going on? For me, it's just different.
Yeah.
Because it's like a double-edged sword, so to speak. It's a compliment in the sense of, well, and they're being intuitive because I can look at you and see that you are probably mixed with something.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's
right.
the insult of, well, you can't just be black. That's just like when I went off to school. Mm-hmm. I don't sound like the people in my neighborhood. I don't necessarily carry myself like the people in my neighborhood. Because my father was like, you know, you need to sound like you have some education. You need to, you can't go out here sounding like a fool. And people always said to me, oh, especially on the phone, you don't sound like you're black. Well, what
mm-hmm,
do you sound like? I'm like, I'm sorry, do I got to sound like this in order for you to understand or think that I'm black? No, mm-hmm. that's not how I carry myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I get the, oh, you're not a product of your environment. Sure I am.
No.
In every
wow.
sense of the word, I am a product of my environment. I may have gotten all the positive aspects of my environment, but I am very much a product of, I'm a product of public school from kindergarten through eighth grade. I am a product of living in one of the craziest cities in the state of New Jersey. I am a product of black parents. You know, I am definitely a product of my environment. So it's insultive in the sense of, oh, well, you must be special. You must be different. No, no. I took different opportunities, and
right.
I made them work for me. So, and everybody has a choice about their opportunities. But, no, I'm from the hood just like everybody else around me. You know, I still
I'm not, I'm not from the hood, Jackie, I'm not from the hood. I'm from up the hill.
Oh, well, yeah, you're not. You're different. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am the princess of the hood. Don't get it twisted. I got a tiara and everything. So, but, you know, and I will say it incorrectly. I'm a little bougie. You know, I'm a little ghetto bougie. I have my moments. But, you know, when people do say that about you, it's like, you know, I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes we have to say, well, who are we? You know, and I know that there is a new, well, it's not new, but they can now take your, they can take DNA from you, and
mm-hmm.
they can try to trace back to what tribe that you are from Africa, and where you're from. And, of course, they have the Ancestry.com and, you know, but the thing is that for us, that can be a little difficult because we have so many gaps, you know.
But you know what?
It's
really, it's not that difficult, Jackie, because we even tried it. And you know, with my family, it's just ridiculous and crazy. But we have tried that, and we've gotten very far. And then sometimes you hit a wall, and then some kind of breakthrough comes through because then somebody else from the other side is also looking. And so
right,
it kind of
right.
connects you
right.
two together. So I would definitely say if someone is trying, definitely try it. Definitely try it. It costs a little more to keep digging. Like you pay a certain amount to start it, and then when you really, really want some information, there's more things you have to pay for. Then there are also some files that are closed that some of the family members do not want you to contact them. So you get blocked off from that too. So there's, you know, it's a great site. I'd say try it, but
It's a good way to pinpoint. You know, it's a good starting point. It may not be 100% accurate, but at least
right.
you have an idea. Like I did that. My mom did the Ancestry.com for myself and my siblings, and it was so nice to have an idea. Now, my Ancestry.com, it said I was 80% West African, but I kind of assumed that because we get so many Nigerian people that walk up to me and speak the language, and I don't know anything, but I always get that you look Nigerian. You look Nigerian.
Ladies,
where are you from?
Ladies, we have our sister on the line. Sig, where you been, girl? Sig?
Sig?
Hey, Sig, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, where you been, sis?
Hey.
Hey,
We've been
court.
Waiting on you.
Court.
I hear you. Have you been listening in a little bit?
Haven't had a chance. I just walked out the courtroom and went to a side room.
Oh, okay. Well, we're just wrapping up the Black History, you know, giving a little thoughts about what we feel about trying to find out where we come from and how people feel about where we come from and, you know, racism of today. We have a guest in queue waiting to come on a little bit later, a special guest that I, you know, just pulled out of my hat today. So I didn't get a chance to tell you guys, but, I, you know, once he comes on, you'll love the fact that I brought him on. But we're glad to have you in, sis.
Hey, God, it's been a while since I had to do this dance, and I'm tired.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I know that's right.
I got in here at 6:59.
Man,
so
I had to put on real clothes.
Mm-mm-mm.
I've been wearing jeans and hoodies and T-shirts. They were like, not today, boo, not today.
Not today, I can reel today.
Real shoes, everything.
You want
to
get out?
I heard that, I heard you guys talking about Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
That's funny. I don't like those sites. I don't believe in them. And let me finish. I've never tried them.
Okay. Great. Why don't you believe in them?
Okay, you know what? Because I'm a little funny. My family believes in telling the stories. We can trace our generations back 15 generations, and the stories get told. And there's a document. We have a true family tree in my grandmother's house in Germany, and it's really shaped like a tree, but it's everybody's on there,
That's wonderful.
They're little stories, and we have our history. And my son came and asked me, "Mom, can I do Ancestry.com?" I said, "Yeah, if you want me to kill you." What are you going to find out that you don't already know? And he's like, you just have a closed mind to it, which I do because I don't do it because I don't feel like I need it. I don't know enough about these
that's
people.
That's your key right there, Sig. You don't need it because you
have 15 generations.
You are
need it.
That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing.
And many of us can't go back 3 or 4. And that's what I meant about we have gaps where, you know, people will have their immediate family. They will have maybe a grandmother. And if they're lucky, they can reach out to maybe a great-grandmother or a great-aunt or something like that. But then so many people have gaps where there's no one to fill in the blank. So that is truly, truly a blessing to be able to go back 15 generations. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
My son pointed out, he's like, "Well, Mom, that's your side of the family. Dad's side is not working like that." And I was like, I keep forgetting that it took him to have you. I thought I did that by myself. So I gave him my blessing.
We don't have any blended families as well. So it's
I gave him permission to go ahead and gave him my credit card, and it was really interesting what he found out about that side of the family. So he's so excited because he can really tie his ancestry back. So, yes, if you cannot trace your family back, by all means, check it out. It can be very, very interesting. Some aha moments will definitely happen.
Yes, definitely.
But do you guys know, and I maybe it's in all cultures and races, so I don't want to just kind of put it to us, but do you notice that there's always one side of the family that you definitely know better than the other, where you can get that kind of tracing back, you know, that you can get all of that information and that history? Like, for my dad's side, it was easy because there were so many of them, and, you know, they were like, you know, big family. They told the stories, and that's how I got most of the information from my dad's side. But from my mother's side of the family, which she wasn't close to, first of all, it's like at this age now, I'm learning so much about my family. I'm still finding family. And I know we're going to talk about this next month, but that's one good thing that social media has been good for is family connection.
That's true.
So, Nate, how large is your immediate family? You're the only child, right?
No, there are five siblings. No,
oh, you're
five siblings.
Okay.
I have two older sisters, an older brother. I have a twin brother.
Oh, you're a twin. That's my half.
Yeah, I'm a twin. He's six. Yep, he's 6 minutes younger than I am, so he's the baby. I'm not, but
okay, 6 minutes older. He's a baby. Okay.
Look, I hold out for him now, but he's so sweet. He's just so lovable and just so sweet. I mean, that's my heart. That's my baby. But you know,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, in every family there seems to be a scribe. There's always somebody that, you know, seems to be interested in keeping records and passing down family history. And, like, my mom she has fallen in love with Ancestry.com and following people and finding people and just preserving that information. So generally there's one person that passes down something.
Right.
Well, this is what I want to know. I remember growing up and until my grandmother died, we did it, the family reunions, where it wasn't just immediate family. I mean, it was, we need a whole park to this family for real.
Right.
And
we were just talking about that.
It was huge. It was just huge. And I don't see that anymore. I see people having a family reunion with just the people whose last name is Brown. When you know you're related to the Johns and the Jacksons and the Simpsons and the Parkers over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is where we have that disconnect as far as a lot of our history. Because when you go to a family reunion, everybody got Uncle John. And he's going to tell some stories. Probably some they don't want to be told, but he's going to tell some stories. And that's where the basis for our family came from, because you had to have that family reunion on my grandparents' property because it could fit everybody, because I have 11 uncles and aunts.
Oh, wow.
And everybody seems to have a big family. I have 6 siblings. And so it's not a, oh, can you show up? It's a, my grandmother said, be there. You're there. I don't care what's going on. If you are not dead yourself, you're there.
That's kind of how the reunion's shaping up for us this summer. Like, everybody's demanding. They're demanding that everybody show up.
And I think that's a good thing, because that way you ain't got cousins married to each other.
Ooh,
yes. Never lied. And see, I never went to a family reunion growing up. I mean, we always missed it. And like Daryl, he's on my dad's side of the family, and apparently they always had the reunions, but we didn't know about it. We didn't go. Nobody found out. Nobody shared. My grandfather and his, you know, grandmother, you know, a sibling. And so for some reason, my grandfather just didn't pass it down, didn't share, didn't anything. And, you know, my dad died when I was 5. So we just, it was a disconnect, just a huge disconnect.
Right. And that's part of the problem, like I said, with the gaps that we have in our families, because when that communication is not there, then we can't build strong family ties. So when we're not going to the reunions, when we're not reaching out, and like I said, you know, my mom wasn't close with her family at all. I mean, and there are lots of secrets and stories, and I guess they were just like, if you don't go sit down somewhere. But they made the sad mistake of embracing me, and all I do is ask and ask and ask, and I go back to the little town where my mom was born, and I dig and I dig and I dig and I dig, because there is so much. And like Sig said, some of those stories they don't want to tell. But they're important to who we are and where we come from, because that's a big problem. We don't have an anchor in a lot of Black families. And there's no place to anchor us to, or anyone to anchor us to. And so, therefore, we're just kind of all over the place. And like she said, I see a lot of family reunions where they do it at Liberty State Park, and it's only the people who live in New Jersey. Or, like you said, only the people who have the last name Brown. It's like, well, you know, then what about this aunt who had some kids and that aunt who had some kids and that uncle? And they don't connect everybody, but that's why we culturally have such a huge, huge disconnect. And I just think it's kind of unfair to future generations.
Yeah, so let me ask you the same question. How many siblings do you have?
I have 6.
Okay, and Jackie?
2.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and a lot of that, you know, what we talked about, a lot of that gap we have also comes from our immediate family, too. Like, do you guys get together with your siblings a lot? You know, do you
Hell
do
no.
those things, too?
No. When growing up, a lot of people think I'm an only child. I'm not. A lot of people think I'm the baby of the family. I'm not. I am smack dab in the middle. And I perfected being a brat and being spoiled with my siblings as well as my parents. They made me the way I am, and I expected for them to keep me that way when I became an adult. And they obliged me. If they want to see me, they pay the plane tickets. That's how I feel. But a lot of stuff happened when my mom died. My mom died October 24, 1984. My grandmother died November 1st, 1984. Two matriarchs of our family gone.
Wow.
And they were the glue to connect the generations.
Yes.
And so we stopped the big, huge family reunion because, of course, you know, we act the fool at births, weddings, and deaths. It was a big mess about who gets what. And when my mom was dying, my siblings got on my last good nerves because they were like, I can't watch her die. I'm not asking to watch her die, but she's asking for you, and she's never leaving the hospital again. My mom had breast cancer. October 1st, they removed her left breast. October 4th, which is my birthday, she was supposed to come out of the hospital. I was there, and they said she couldn't leave. October 21st, my mom died. I spent October 4th to October 21st in the hospital with her. My siblings did not.
Wow.
So when we had the conversation, I was like, you know what? Y'all didn't need mommy when mommy needed y'all. I don't need y'all now. So our disconnect is that.
Do you think she's okay with those
folks? Who's okay?
Your mom.
My mom? Oh, no. My mom would roll over in the grave and probably ready to come beat me up because I'm
you
very stubborn.
That.
And so No, uh-uh. I tried to fix it a few months ago, but I got a sister that works my nerves. I had to give her back her cell phone number again. So me and my brothers get along. We always have. Me and my sisters, we have our moments. Longer than 72 okay. hours is too much. But when something happens, when something comes up, yeah, I'm going to be there for them. Those are my sisters. I love my sisters. I just don't want to be in the same room with them most of the time. But when it comes to the kids, like my nieces and nephews and my kids and them, that is not a disconnect. I do not play that. That's your aunt. Those are your uncles. If they call, if you want to go, those are your nieces and nephews. I don't stand in the way of that because I have an issue and I have a character flaw. It does not mean I'm bleeding that over on my kids. Besides, like I said, my mom would get about her grave and come tap me on my shoulder, and I'd be standing there talking to a corpse about why I'm keeping my kids away from the family, because that's not how our family is. I keep my distance unless I have to be there, but I don't allow that disconnect for my kids.
That's
when
odd.
They schedule family reunions, I will go to the family reunions. I'm going to be we have good. The funny part is, as siblings, we have a really good time together. Again, 72 hours is about long as we can take each other.
I think that's family in general.
That's,
I think
yeah,
we all
that's
like,
normal.
I think we all go like that. You know, it's 14 of us, you know, and we were doing the every Sunday, we would take turns going over one of the siblings' house and doing a dinner for us. And you're right, at the 72 hours, I had one sister that I talked to every single day. And I have an older sister in Arizona I talk to periodically, and I have another sister that's not too far from me. We talk a couple of times in the week. But you're right, we can't be in the same room for too long, too many days, because we're different people. We're just all very different.
Right.
You know, even the one I talk to every single day, we're still two very, very different women. We were like two peas in a pod growing up as kids, but as we became mothers and women, we became very different. So even as close as we are, we're very different, and we have our days. Yeah.
Okay, I have to recant my sibling count, Ben, since Fig just told her story. And I can relate to that. Okay, so technically, there are seven of us. My father has four children from a previous marriage, which I don't speak to any of them. And the same thing happened. My father was the glue. So, you know, it was rocky in the beginning, and then we all meshed together. So, I mean, barbecues at my mom and dad's house. Everybody was around. And then when my dad got sick, nobody could be there. So I didn't even live here. I would fly home with a child for months at a time, and I would take care of my dad so my mom could work until my mom stopped working to take care of my dad. I only acknowledge one of my other siblings from my father's previous marriage, and that is his youngest son, my brother Michael. And so, but the rest of them, I don't acknowledge, because when my father was nearing the end of his life and he was in the hospital, things just got out of hand. And when he passed away, the glue was gone. And everybody went to their respective corners, and it's been that way for 18 years. But now my nieces and my nephew, those are my babies. Those are my heart. I love them. In fact, my mom was raising one of my nephews, my nephew Michael, and she has no blood relation to this kid whatsoever, but she raised him.
Right, because it's from your father's side.
Right.
Right.
And so, and this comes, and I don't know if this is as big in our culture or whatever, but that disconnect of we're still blood related, but those are things that happen, and it will separate families. And I'm really okay with saying
death.
It's just me and my sister's
separation. Yeah.
It's just me and my sisters. And then we'll go, well, where did this niece come from? Where did that nephew come from? And then I have to tell the story, because my nieces and nephews are always in tow. We are close. I love them very much. I adore them. But their mothers and grandmothers and uncles, it's almost as if they don't exist.
Ladies, we have to pay some money. We've got to take a break now. We have a bunch of callers. We have our guests. So we're going to take a break. And please, everybody, stay tuned. Hold on with us, and we'll be back.
Shadow.
Shadow.
This is the relay.
Station Slow Jams Mixtape Show with
DJ JJ.
What do you want?
You. 4 for a whole lot of reasons that don't make any sense to me. I mean, what, we've been on 3 dates? But that's what's crazy. That's what's crazy because I know. I know deep. I just down just in this area.
Woman Talk Show. I am here with my sisters, Nate, Jackie, and Sig. We want to welcome some of the men from the Man Up Show. They have graced us with their presence tonight. We have Dell and we have Tom on the line. Where are you guys at?
Hey, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, well, at least I'm here. Tom, you there? Must be Tom.
Did Tom skip out on us?
Must be that. Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
bro.
Tom, I was about to text you, boo.
I was about to talk about your phone.
What's up? How are you all doing?
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Well, been listening on the riveting conversation about Black history. I am excited. I am ready to go in. Tom?
Yo, I'm here. It's almost the end of Black History Month, but, you know, in my eyes, even though it's 1 month, it never really ends. This is one of those things we got to keep going with.
Our feelings are
exactly.
The Every Woman Talk Show is Black History 365.
Exactly.
You know, like I said, Black history, African American history is American history, period. There's no such thing. It's just something that's just relegated to 12 months. But you got to remember, up until 19, since we're talking about little known African American history, here's something for you. If you remember, up to 1976, all we had was Black History Week.
Exactly.
It wasn't even a month. It was a week. If it wasn't for Gerald Ford, we wouldn't even have the whole month. So, let's start expanding our minds and what we can achieve by being able first to appreciate those who've come before us. So that's my bicentennial minute. And let's keep on rocking on with the subject. Special guest.
I've got something to piggyback your Black History moment. Because it started in 1926 with Dr. Carter G. Woodson, and it was National History Week.
We have a guest
that's
been waiting on the line for a while, so we want to hurry up.
Please bring the guest on. Can we bring the guest on?
Let me introduce this man. He is something very special to me. Dwayne Brashear, he knows I love him dearly. I will let him tell you more about who he is and why he is on our show tonight. Dwayne, are you there?
Am I on? I'm here.
You're on, Dwayne.
Welcome.
Wonderful.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the Every Woman Talk Show, Dwayne.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me, Uli. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, honey. You're so welcome. I wanted you to tell them who you were and why you're on the show. And this was something that we just put together very fast and quick today. But Dwayne can tell you more about who he is and why he is with us today.
Well, my father, Carl Brashear, was the individual that was depicted in the movie Men of Honor, being the first Black a DC diver in the United States Navy, and being the only human to be reinstated into the Navy as an amputee to continue his diving. And, I was just really thankful and grateful that Mr. Bill Cosby decided to bring my father's story to the big screen. And there was somebody like Cuba Gooding Jr., thank God, to portray my dad. There couldn't have been a better actor.
Absolutely.
To portray my dad and bring his military story to the big screen. It's not his life story, but it's his professional story, and it's just an honor. It's just a huge honor for the Brashear family, and I'm very thankful for that.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Wonderful. Wonderfully done. And that was a great movie.
Thank you.
Do you ladies have any questions?
Yes. What did you think about the movie? Was that a, you agree was it an accurate portrayal of your dad's story?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
What did you think about the movie? Do you agree that it was an accurate portrayal of your dad's story?
You know, my dad was very much alive and a key advisor on that project when it was being filmed. And I was able to actually spend time on set with all the actors and my dad and just watch the process. And there was a big media junket leading up to the release of the film. And I really just would listen to what my dad thought about the film. I mean, I've seen that film 100 times. I cry every time. But I listen to people ask my dad what he felt about the film. And he always says the same thing consistently. It was great. They did a sensational job. It was a great portrayal. They had to put their Hollywood spin on it, of course. But he was just so proud of how they depicted him in that movie. I personally thought, I've learned so much about my dad through the making of that film and speaking with people that knew my dad that were brought to set to be advisors with him. Because my dad didn't talk a lot about his life in the Navy and what he did. He was just my dad. I just learned a tremendous amount about what he went through the making of that project and everything that has happened in the aftermath.
Awesome.
That is just amazing. Wow. Like, wow.
And, you know, it was just basically my dad retired from the Navy in 1979. He had done everything that he could do for the Navy. So in 1979, I'm still in college, you know, and they couldn't seem to get that project going. That film wasn't made until 2001.
Dwayne, hold on 1 second. Ladies, hold on 1 second. I just want to bring in another one from the man, another guy from the Man Up Show. Haas, he's on the line. Black, come on in.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Thanks for calling in.
Glad to hear everyone's doing well. I just wanted to send some love to you ladies. You're doing an awesome job. And what's up to my brothers? And definitely wanted to just let you guys know that I'm listening. And, you know, I'll chime in if I can, but just wanted to show some love and let you all know that you're doing a great job, Sig.
Thank you.
Hey, Jackie, Uli, of course, you know, love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing, you know, keep the unity. You're doing
Thank
an awesome
you.
Job. Awesome, awesome
Thanks.
Job.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Tom, right?
I do.
Okay.
You know, I've had the opportunity to sit here and listen to a few people speak while I was waiting to be brought on. It just struck me. It amazed me that how much of a common thread that we have in terms of sentiment, in terms of how we feel about our heritage and our culture, our experiences, our outlook, the way we view things. It was just like I could relate to everything that those young ladies and the young man were saying. It was like part of my story as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for most of us, that's the case. We have so much more in common more times than we are different, and we are all still fighting the same fight. We just have to do it differently, but we have to realize we're fighting the same fight.
We absolutely are.
Right, we are.
Definitely are. Dwayne, I have another question. What are some of the stories that maybe your dad shared with you about his experience?
My dad... And I preface that by saying, you know, my dad wasn't a lecturer. He wasn't a storyteller and a kind of a man that would sit you down and just teach you things, or he would show you things. My dad was very physical, you know, and I think that led to how he was able to do what he did as a deep sea diver in the United States Navy. My dad led by example. My dad imparted on us to be strong, to be physically fit, and to take pride in a job. And he was very much a taskmaster around the house. It was four boys. I have three siblings. He worked us you know, pretty hard around the house. When it came to yard work and chores, he was just somebody who just, you know, it just had to be done a certain way. A lot of that was him, but a lot of that was his military as well.
That's exactly,
I mean,
what I was
going to
ask you. That's exactly
course.
What I was going to say to you, Duane. Do you think it came from his military background?
Yes.
Let's not forget it. At one point, he became an amputee. And
yes.
so he, when
yes.
it should have been harder for him, he did it. He still did it. So if he could do it as an amputee, you damn sure can get out there and do that yard work.
Let me tell you this. My dad didn't miss a beat when he lost his leg. He
right.
and he did not miss a beat. He made us very comfortable with who he was after he lost his leg. And he would always say, I don't feel so much as a handicap. This is not a handicap for me, son. This is an inconvenience. And,
wow.
you know, I see amputees and people with disabilities all the time. And I think what set my dad apart was, one, his upbringing, his pride,
uh-huh.
and his innate sense of duty that he was going to provide for his family, and he would do it with one leg if he had to.
Uh-huh.
And it's just hard for me to, when things happen to me, you know, and I'm, you know, I've worked all my life, and I've been an entrepreneur. I've done things. When things happen to me and I feel a little down or a little sick or I always think of my dad, and I look at this picture I have on the wall of him running in his prosthesis. You'll probably see it online. There's just no way. I always think of him when things get a little down for me, and I'm like, he wouldn't sit down for this.
What are you complaining for? What are you complaining for? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it a little harder for me,
mm-hmm.
but also gives me that kind of drive, too. Because those were huge, still, huge shoes to fill, literally
Absolutely.
And figuratively. When you
Absolutely.
Have somebody that has stepped out of the realm of normalcy like that,
Absolutely.
Sometimes, as much as it is a blessing, you know, it's a little bit of a curse too, but you have to be responsible to it and know that this is your legacy and you got to stand up and be strong.
Yeah, yeah
mm-hmm.
absolutely. Let's not forget, you know, behind every strong man, there is a strong woman. How is Mama June doing?
It's funny you should ask. I just got off the phone with her. She's still here. And I tell everybody, you know, I speak to a lot of different groups, youth groups and adult groups, you know, telling them about how I grew up as a military dependent. You know, we always reference the movie, but I like to tell personal stories, things, stories that I took for granted. My mother's still here, and my mother is the sole reason in my mind that my father was able to do what he did. Because my father
Absolutely.
Was gone a lot. She handled four boys. My dad would be gone months at a time. He was a staunch provider now. He, you know, he sent his money home, brought his money home. They did their bills and whatever. And, you know, he would be dad when he was there. But his duty required him to be gone a lot. And both of my parents worked. My mother always worked. So we were latchkey kids. And, you know, four boys, you know, that had free rein a lot of the time, we kind of gave my mother a hard time, and my mother's very strong. She's stronger than my dad, probably. Still here, still thriving down in Portsmouth, Virginia. You know, I just can't say enough about what she's been
Absolutely.
In my life as a human being, and especially as a mother.
Absolutely.
Where would we be without mothers?
Beautiful.
That's right. I have a question. Who approached your dad about, you know, wanting to tell his story, and when
I said it just earlier. It was Bill Cosby.
Cosby,
and you know, it's public information, but it's not widely said that he was the executive producer of the movie Men of Honor, and he
wow.
as a former Navy person. Looked up my dad's story, contacted my dad. I've got photos on my wall of him and my dad and Mr. Cosby sitting and talking. And he got some writers and producers together. They interviewed my dad over the course of a couple of years, you know, at different periods, getting his story down and taking his military records and fusing them together to tell that movie. And, you know, and this is why I don't think that movie could have gotten made any sooner than it did, because there wasn't a Bill Cosby as we know him now in the 70s. Even though he was very much there, certainly wasn't a Cuba Gooding Jr.
He wasn't who he was now. Then
absolutely, and George Stillman, who directed Soul Food, critically acclaimed director, African American. You know, he wasn't in the equation then, and all the stars lined up. All those people came together and put together a beautiful cast of actors, actresses, and told my father's story and just did a beautiful job. I couldn't be more proud. I just can't.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
I'm just going to put a shout-out because Dwayne has a daughter by my sister, and I love my niece Dorian with every part of me. She is one of my favorite people because she acts just like Brianna Woolley.
Shout-out to her.
Hi, Dorian.
Hey.
So, no.
Hey.
I know we have some other guests. I don't know if Daryl's ready to bring them on or not, but we have some other people in queue waiting. Dwayne, I'm so glad that you at the last minute agreed to come on tonight, because I literally called them this afternoon and was like, oh, can you come on the show tonight? And so I'm so glad that you took the time out to come on and talk to the ladies here and to give the listeners some information about who your dad was, because we always talk about so many people that people already know about.
Yeah.
But we always want to talk about the people who are forgotten and the people who people don't know about, those people who made it easy for the other people to follow his footsteps.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely,
it's
and you couldn't have, they wouldn't have written that story about my dad as a fictional character. That's real life.
Absolutely.
Which has become American history. They wouldn't have made that story. If you'd have told somebody that story and it didn't actually happen, it'd be unbelievable.
It would have never came out, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a question for you, Dwayne. You know,
sure.
Your dad dealt with racism in the military, and he also, you know, dealt with his disability. What would you, if you could speak for your dad, or if you can just speak to some of the young men that are out here today that are dealing with racism, and, you know, they're dealing with different disabilities, or some of the men that maybe are not being a strong father figure in their home like your dad was, or just whatever they may be dealing with. If you could speak to some of the men today, what would you say to them?
You know, I have my father's strength, but I have my mother's tolerance. And my dad always said that, you know, when that kind of issue would arise, he would just show them different, not do the knee-jerk reaction to say something back in kind and almost be, you would almost be, it would be your right to do that, but to just take a step back and just be calm and just show them that, one, that's a preconceived notion, they're wrong, and just have a better attitude. He always said that he just wanted to outwork and just show people that he was the best at what he did. And I don't know, I'm going to tell you the truth. He never talked to us at all, none of his four sons, about anything racial that he would go through in the Navy. Because what it was with him was, the requirements to be a deep-sea diver in the United States Navy cross through all racial social barriers. If you could grit up and become a deep-sea diver, it didn't matter if you were black, blue, yellow, or polka dot, you were somebody special in the United States Navy. And being the first black man to do that just showed people that, you know, We're qualified to do whatever.
I need to bring guys, I need to bring in some other guests because we are cutting time short right now. So I want to bring in April. She's on the line waiting for us. She's been waiting all night listening patiently. April, you there?
Yes.
Hello, sister.
Hi, April.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you have something you'd like to input tonight?
I did. I loved the show, actually. I mean, I don't know what else to say besides I agree with almost everything you guys. I had some things I wanted to say earlier when you were talking about racism. I had a few incidents myself with police and things like that that had I been cued in, I could have shared with you. But I think it is. I just want to say this, not taken away from the Men of Honor or Dwayne, because, no, I have an uncle for your dad, but in reference to our people, when we were speaking about what could be done and how does that change, our society now with these young children, I remember, you know, with Martin and Malcolm and that kind of thing and the unity that we shared as a people back then, I think the whole thing with Elijah Muhammad and that kind of thing, I think it was more that Elijah tried to make the Nation of Islam more for our people to have respect for themselves and the unity than it was a religious thing.
Absolutely.
And we lost that. Once that was dismantled, you know, we lost a lot of that. And these children today, because of the different races mixing and, you know, excuse me, but whites trying to cross over, you know, with the young kids and all the young kids are mixing and matching. But the reality is our children, our black children are getting lost in all of that. They're thinking it's okay to do the things that they're doing because they see other cultures and other races doing them. They keep forgetting we will always be different to them.
Right.
You know,
right.
And when they wear their pants the way they're behind and they dress the way they dress and they carry themselves and they speak the way they – I mean, for God's sakes, they came in with their own language.
Language.
You know what I mean?
Right.
How
so
do
let me,
you do
let me
that?
Cut you off. Sis, let me cut you off because you know we can get into this. But we have
another
guest on the line, Myrna. We have another caller on the line, Myrna.
You guys should do another segment on that, though.
We
can go on and on.
Yeah, we can go on and on. You're absolutely right. And because you have asked that, we definitely will do that.
Yep, you should.
All right, love you, sis. Thanks for calling in.
Love you, too.
Let me get Myrna on because we need to wrap this up.
All right, good evening. Good evening. Assalamu
alaikum.
Hello, Myrna.
Good
evening. Such a great conversation. The young lady that just got off, April, I believe you said her name was, that some of the pitfalls to integration, one of the things that we work towards, oh, let's just have this one integrated society, and that some of the negativity of it is that you lose that sense of self, and how do you hold on to that? So that will be a good dialogue, and I will be excited to join in with that one.
And we want you to come back. We want you to come back. We were short, you know, kind of short for time today. We had some callers come in. You know, Sid came in late, and we got Dwayne on late. But, Myrna, please, please, please listen in to us. Call in. We want to hear your views. I need to wrap this up real quick. Myrna, please call back next week.
Promise me? Definitely.
All right.
Yes.
We'll talk to you soon. Let me talk to the men, from the Man Up Show. Let's see if they want to wrap it up, see what they have to say real quickly. We had Tom, we had Hoss, we had Daryl. What do you guys have to talk about? Not that much, huh?
Did they all go on mute?
Cricket.
I'll mute your phone, guys. That's a man up show, I tell you.
Man Up Show. Dwayne,
you
don't hear me,
we're on their show.
I'm here.
All right, Dwayne, we have to wrap right now. I love you. We will come. We definitely will have you back on again because we love to hear, you know, men's input on what we're talking about. And, you know, we talk about a little bit of everything, relationships and everything else. So please listen in, call in, and don't forget us. And thanks for sharing all the information about your dad. You know, we want the public to know more about, like you said, the men and women who people do not know about, and now they do know. So, and,
absolutely,
you know, thinking the man, even though they said that, you know, the movie was a true movie, I don't even know if people really believe that. But now they know it was true.
Thank you for the opportunity. I wish we could talk more, but hopefully we'll get an opportunity too.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Love you.
Love you too.
Thanks for coming.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Are my brothers still there? Are my brothers here? The Man Up Show, you guys here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm here.
We got Tom, we got Daryl, we got Hoss. Daryl?
Yep, we're all here. I'm here. Black,
welcome
you here?
Back. All right, Hoss, let me hear your closing thoughts, babe. Okay, moving
on. Go on,
Hoss.
Hoss, take your phone off mute.
All right, Tom, let's go to you. Let me hear your closing thoughts. Maybe Hoss will come back in later.
Well, I just want to tell this quick story about something that's happened over the last week, which was in Bloomfield, New Jersey, where one of the councilmen decides to ask this question about diversity and why the queef heart. So that, well, you know, what's going on there? And he got attacked, basically, by the police chief in public, saying things about him. And then the next day on ABC News, there was a video of the black man who was pulled over in Bloomfield and basically beat while he had his hands up because they didn't know where this was going as soon as the cop drew the gun on him. Now, all the charges were dropped, but I think that, you know, anyone who's in the area needs to, or can get all your contacts with anyone in the Bloomfield Council needs to call them and tell them that they need to take a serious look at their police department.
Awesome. Get in contact
with
the Maplewood NAACP. That would be Tom Puryear is their president. Like I said, if somebody could just get in contact with me behind the scenes, I will make sure I can get you his telephone number and everything, because Bloomfield falls underneath the oranges in Maplewood, and they need to stand up and say something about it. So, yeah, that's just absolutely crazy. And we'll talk about this further on Friday.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Hoss on?
Us? I guess for us, ladies, it's been a wonderful night. We thank you for allowing
us to join for
a second. We love y'all. We love what y'all doing. We're always supportive of our sisters at the Every Woman Talk Show.
Love you more. Thank you. All right, ladies, so it's time for us and our closing remarks. Sig, let's start with you since you was late. We're going to penalize you for that, but okay.
No, thank you, because I got to go back.
Oh, but it works for you.
Yeah, okay. There's three things I want to say about something that happened today in Black history, and then there's a statement I want to read. Today, Albany State University, historically Black college, is founded in Albany, Georgia in 1903. Today, Martin Luther King Jr., activist and civil rights leader, is ordained as a Baptist minister, 1948. Muhammad Ali defeats Sonny Liston for the heavyweight boxing championship, 1964. Now, why today in Black history? In our words, as with all aspects of American history, Black history is an indispensable key to understanding the nation's past, present, and future. Unfortunately, much of this history began with hundreds of thousands of Africans who reached the United States as slaves between the 16th and 19th centuries. With such an abhorrent beginning, the freedom and other achievements eventually earned by African Americans cannot simply be disregarded. With each new advancement or right gained by African Americans, a new obstacle or restriction followed. Tumultuous beginnings of Black history in the United States, along with truly admirable perseverance of those who withstood it, are all strong parts of the growth of the nation as a whole. A thorough grasp of Black history also gives great insight to the present state of the Black race, as well as its overall impact on America. Without understanding how things came to be, it is difficult to make sense of the current situation or to form solutions to current issues concerning African Americans. Likewise, knowledge of Black history aids in avoiding the repetition of past mistakes and tragedies in the future. It also serves as a reminder of potential for great achievement and provides a foundation on which these triumphs can continue to be achieved. Why Black history? Because Black history counts, because Black history matters, because Black history will continue.
Wow. We should have made you laugh.
I know, right?
Natalie, what do you have
to
say, honey?
I got to go. I love you guys.
We love you, Sig. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Natalie, what's your closing remark, honey?
Yeah, my closing remark is that Black history is history, and we just need to talk about it more like we're doing tonight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more of it needs to be on TV. Like right now, all of this Robin Thicke and Paula Patton mess is all over the TV. That's not even newsworthy. But the man in Bloomfield that was just beat down, that's not on TV as much as that other stuff. So just encouraging people, let's have dialogue. Let's talk about some positive stuff other than beating each other down and all that. Let's just talk about who we are, our history,
right,
and
right.
Like Mr. Brashear, Carl Brashear, that left a legacy. You know, what mm-hmm. legacy are we leaving? You know, he left
Abbott.
His. What legacy
Wonderful.
Are we leaving?
Wonderful. Jackie?
You know, I can do this all day long. I am a history nut, and I absolutely, absolutely love dialogue when it talks about my people. And anything that is going to enlighten and educate and advance. And, you know, I love the fact that as a show that we have decided that this is just not a one-month type thing, that we have adopted to do this every show of every month, of every week for the entire year. And my little history fact is everybody knows about the Emancipation Proclamation. It was done in January 1st of 1863, Abraham Lincoln freed slaves. What a lot of people don't know, and it is a common fact, but a lot of people don't know where it derives from, is Juneteenth. Juneteenth is June of 1865, I believe it is. And what it was is that slaves in Texas didn't know back in 1863 that they had been freed.
Right.
And they weren't informed by their slave masters. So it wasn't until 2 years later that they were freed, and that's why we celebrate June 19th, because it wasn't until then that they got their freedom. So,
uh-huh.
you know, we need to get to make sure that we know what we know, what we know about us
uh-huh.
and about our history and how important it is, and not just let everything be funneled to us by some other source. It is our responsibility and our duty to funnel our history and to funnel our achievements to each other for each other.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, this is Uli, and I would like to thank all our listeners for listening in, our callers for calling in, April, Myrna, and definitely our guest, Dwayne Brashear. Thank you so much for enlightening us on this information you gave us today. Most of all, I want to say I love my sisters. Sig, you get fine. We'll figure out what that's going to be later. Jackie, I love you with all my heart. The Tay, we're gonna be do our little Zumba stuff at some point. The Man Up Show on Fridays. Game Strong on Mondays. The Relationship Show on Sundays. And the Women, we got it every Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys. We'll talk to you guys next Tuesday.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night.
Besides, relationships are for people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Because of the way it was delivered.
How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you.
I'm just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show.
I am Ms. Hay, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. Uli, Signature, and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about...
Shadow. World, radio.